Well, let's open our Bibles. We do this, I don't want to say as a custom, but we've been doing this for a while. We're led to. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and let's read together. It's good to read the Word of God out loud. Faith comes by hearing. If you have your Bible, let's read in John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. And let's read that out loud. You can read it from whatever version you have. Some may have a, as they say, a physical Bible, and some may have your electronic Bible, but whatever you have, let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we can see right here that God loved this world and he gave his Son. Hallelujah. To whosoever believeth in him. So it's a free gift to the world. Hallelujah. Well, now I'd ask you to turn. We're going to talk, as I shared, we're going to talk about speaking with other tongues. And we're going to look. I'm going to condense a little bit. I've been teaching this for a few weeks in Nanuet. But I may condense a little bit. But if you would, let's turn to John chapter 14. And I want to look at, you may already know the answer to this, but it's good to just walk through this. But let's look at John 14 and look at verses 16 and 17. And also verse 26, John 14, 16 and 17, and also verse 26. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you," what? "Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Isn't that a good thing to know? He's going to abide with us forever. Not just a short time. When he takes up abode in us, it's forever. So when we leave this earth, he's in us. This says forever. Now, verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So when this says in verse 17, "even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive," this is not talking about, let me say this. This is talking about something that God has for his children, only that the world cannot receive because they do not know him. So in other words, this is not talking about salvation. Because we just got done reading, Jesus loved the world. Right? He came into this world to do what? Save him. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So when this says here, whom the world cannot receive, he's not talking about receiving Jesus. So it must mean something else. What did he say? He said, "I'm going to send" what? "Another comforter." So he's talking about a gift, something to receive that's not available to the world. Why? It says right here, because why? They neither know him, right? But you know him. So he's talking about something that's available to his children. right? And wouldn't you agree? So there's something that has to happen to position a person to receive this gift from God. So in other words, tongues is not available to the world. It's available as a gift only to those who know him. And I'm going to stop and say this, that and we'll go over and look at this a little further in the scripture, but there are those that try to receive this gift without being born again. And there are instances, I know just reading some of the material that Brother Hagin wrote, he said that there were those that tried to offer, or not offer, present that gift to those that are not born again. And they expose themselves to other kinds of spirits that are not the Holy Spirit. And he said in his life, in his ministry, he heard people speak in something that sounded like tongues, but it wasn't. So because they weren't born again, they didn't have God dwelling in him by his spirit, they were exposed to a different kind of spirit, an ungodly spirit or a demonic spirit. And how would we know, and how do you deal with that? Well, you know this, in 1 John, I believe in 1 John, see, the Bible will tell you how to deal with things. Let me just read it to you. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, Beloved, he's talking to the church, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. In verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. I know many years ago I've told this story, but when I first got born again, this is a long time ago, I was on a prayer counseling line for the Christian Broadcasting Network. This was down in New Jersey. And I was would go down once a week, and I was on the phone counseling. And I had this experience where this person, I had picked up the phone, I said, hello, may I help you? And this person, the first thing he started to talk, he sounded as if he was so inebriated, so drunk, he could hardly say two words. I need help. You know, and he just went on. And I thought, my first thought was, this is a joke. This is a prank. Well, you get prank calls. So I thought this was a prank. And so the more he talked, I just listened for a short period of time. He sounded, as they say, he sounded drunk, literally drunk. You couldn't tell. I would defy you to know he was not drunk. And just that quick, he started talking just like this. He started talking just as clear and coherent, and I thought to myself, this is a prank call. Had to be. And so he started to talk, and he said, I need the whole Christian Broadcasting Network to pray for me. And right down here I heard, no, you don't. You need one believer that believes God that can help you. And that's what I said to him. I said, no, you don't need the whole Christian Broadcasting Network to pray for you. I said, I'm a believer. I said, I can pray, and God will move. And so I heard the whole, and then he switched. And he started talking drunk again. And down here on the inside, I heard, ask him to say Jesus. Now, I'm a new Christian, and I heard that, and I said, okay. You know, they say test the spirit by the spirit. I said, well, let me do it. I'm young. So I said, sir, can you say Jesus? And this is what he did. He couldn't say Jesus. He could not say it. And then I said to him, can you say the blood of Jesus? He said, he couldn't say blood. The devil can't say it. Every spirit, that's what it said, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And then verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is that spirit of the Antichrist. You can know how to handle things. It's in the Bible. And I've had some experiences, not all, but I've had a few to just say, oh, it's right there in the Bible. I'll tell you how to handle it. You don't have to cast something out of it. I mean, you may, because I didn't know what to do after that, because I'm young. And I said, I need help. And this, the head counselor came over and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of this person. So I said, okay, I know what to do now. But again, my point in saying all of that is that if you're not born again and you begin to ask God for this gift, it's like what Jesus said. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. It's got to be changed to receive this gift from God, you see. So God has a gift for his children. So let's take a quick look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know this particular scriptures, most do. It says, if any man be in Christ, verse 17, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means you're brand new. You still look the same on the outside, but the minute you ask Jesus to come into your life, your spirit, your inner man changed. You've got the life of God living on the inside of you. You've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And it says in Romans 8:14, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit that what? We're the children of God. So once God comes inside, once his Spirit takes up residence, he bears witness with your spirit that you're saved, that you're born again, that you're a new creature in Christ. And there should be some change. Something has happened. If you're truly born again, then there's things that begin to happen in your life. Your appetites change. Things that you liked to do before begin to change. You don't like doing the things you used to do. Now, you may struggle through that period of your life. Some have. We all have in certain areas, things that we did for a long time. Until your mind gets renewed to the Word of God, you may walk through things. You may still trip up and fall into the same things you did. But the bottom line is your appetites begin to change. You may not know how to change. You may still struggle with it, but you're saying, you know what, I can't do this. I don't know how to change, but I don't like doing this. I need help. Well, you're changed, you see. You're a Christian. So let me read this. These are some things that the Bible says or expresses as the new birth. John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what we read. If you believe on his name, you're not condemned. That's what we just got done reading in John 3:17 and 18. I like the New King James says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So once we've asked him, once we believe on his name, he's given us the right to become children of God. Now, let me just read these two verses here. One, the Bible refers to the new birth as receiving eternal life. So in 1 John 5:11, it says, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So the minute we receive his Son, we receive eternal life. That means I'm born again. That means I'm a new creature in Christ. So the Bible talks about receiving eternal life as the new birth. You see, that's the way the Bible expresses it. Acts 26:18, it says the forgiveness of sins. It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and listen, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So when we become a new creature in Christ, that means we've received forgiveness of sins. I may not feel like it, but you're forgiven. You may say, well, I don't feel forgiven. You are forgiven because the Bible says so. The Bible says you're forgiven of sins. That means your whole past, that's what it said. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So everything that you've had that was against you, your slate has been cleaned. And really, when you think about it, if you go back and you look at the scripture says that when we were dead in sin, see, Christ died for our sins. So really, Jesus wiped our slate clean when he went to the cross and was resurrected. We just have to accept it. And the minute we accept that, it becomes a reality in our life. That means I received forgiveness of sins. Now, these are the terms. Now once we've become born again, that makes us eligible. That makes us qualified to receive God's gift of the Comforter. You see, everybody understand that. Now, the Bible talks about and refers to receiving the Holy Spirit in these, they use these terms. It says you can receive the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost, or you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Means the same thing. You can be baptized with the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can receive the Holy Ghost, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Means all the same thing. So when you see it in the Bible, it means you've received the Comforter. You've received this separate experience, because that's what it is. It's a separate experience. Now I'm going to just read these, and we'll turn. I'll tell you what to turn to here, but you can write these down if you want, or jot them down. When you this is in Acts. Some of these you're familiar with. Acts chapter 8. This is really talking in Acts chapter 8. This is really talking about Philip preaching to the Samaritans, and when they had it says when Philip preached Christ to them. And we'll turn over there. Maybe you want to turn there. Turn to Acts 8 so you can look at that and look at verse 12. Starting in verse 12, you can look at Acts 8. And look at verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." That means they received Christ. That means when they were baptized, that means they were baptized into Christ. That's what this means here. So what did they do? They received Christ. They became a brand new creature in Christ. Now look at verse 13. It says, "Simon," now this is talking about Simon the sorcerer, "himself believed also." So here's a person that was following the devil, and he believed Philip. And you can see why here, because it says, and he believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered what? Beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14, now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Hallelujah. And he said, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, this is talking about receiving. This is how this is expressed, receiving the Holy Ghost. It says, for as yet he was fallen, look at that word, upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 17. This is the scriptural way we receive the Holy Spirit. Then laid their hands on them. They laid their hands on them. And what? And they received the Holy Ghost. I'm going to just share this. We should not seek tongues. You seek the Holy Ghost. Because when you seek the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, then you will receive the evidence of that, right? Let me ask this question. No, maybe I won't say it that way. That's a little funny. Do we receive being overweight or we receive food? We don't seek to be overweight. We seek food, don't we? And the evidence of seeking food is what, Bob? We overweight. I'm making funny, but you understand my point. We don't try to seek the evidence. We seek the one who lives on the inside of us. We seek the person. And his presence causes something to happen in us. There's an evidence of God being in us, right? When God comes inside of us, there's a change. I don't seek the change. I seek the one who creates the change. Amen. So I seek the Holy Ghost. I seek him. And when we seek him, he causes a change. His presence causes a change in me. Amen. Glory to God. So that's one way the Bible talks refers to it, being filled or receiving the Holy Ghost. That was this account here in Acts 8. And then also in Acts 19, you don't have to turn there, but this is actually Paul in Ephesus. It says here, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. This is a number of years after the day of Pentecost. Paul was going through the coast of Ephesus and so forth, and he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we haven't even heard that there be such a one as the Holy Ghost. So that's this particular term. Now, Acts chapter 2, you're all familiar with this account. This is the day of Pentecost. We can turn over there and look at Acts chapter 2. And we're just quickly looking at the way the Bible refers to being filled with the Holy Ghost or receiving the Holy Ghost. But the qualification is that you must be born again. Your spirit must be brand new. Acts chapter 2. Well, let's look at one. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it did what? And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you can see here when it talks about being filled with the Holy Ghost, we're speaking with other tongues. Receiving the Holy Ghost, same thing. Speaking with other tongues. Acts chapter 4. familiar account. This is where they were preaching, Peter and John. And what happened? They threatened them. This is the same Peter and John that came down in Acts 8 to the Samaritans and laid hands upon them. So you can see here that Peter and John were full of the Holy Ghost and were stirring some things up. And you can read in Acts chapter 4 how Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, was speaking boldly. And so they wanted to punish them for speaking in this name. And actually, you see, this is the thing that I... Look at verse 16 in Acts 4. It says, they pulled him in and they threatened him. And it says, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. See, that's what my heart yearns for, is that miracles and signs and wonders and preaching with such demonstration that the world can't deny it. They can fuss, they can say all kinds of crazy things about you, but they can't deny the miracles and signs. They can't deny the power of God. They can't deny it. They may not like it, but they can't deny it. It says, what are we going to do about it? So they threaten them. And so you can see here, it said down in verse 21, after they had further threatened them, they let them go. And said, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. So what happened? They went back to their own company, and you can read down further. It said here that in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by how? The name of thy holy child Jesus. And now look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. So you can see here, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. Now, Acts chapter 1. Let's back up a few chapters and look at Acts chapter 1. And look at verse 5. Look at 4, back up in 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He's referring to the day of Pentecost here. And he's talking about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's another reference to being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And Acts 2, let me jump ahead here. Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. See, so he's talking about salvation here, right? He's talking about salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. And, see, and, not before, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about here, the gift of the Holy Ghost he's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, subsequent to what? Being born again. Now, let me refer to a couple of instances here where we have, let me refer to this. We're talking about Saul on the road to Damascus. And you can see here, just using this story about Saul in Acts chapter 9, and you're familiar with the story, and said there was a great light that struck him or knocked him, and of course he said, Lord, and he said, and he fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And of course, you know, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And of course, after that, he said, and the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. But you can see here when he said, Lord, this is really an inference of him receiving him as Lord, him being born again. Because if you go down further in the story, and it talks about Ananias, who was praying at that time, and the Lord appeared to him or in a vision and said, go. And he said, I want you to get up. And of course, you read in verse 11, he said, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And he obeyed, and he did that. And Ananias expresses his concern about what he heard about Saul. And the Lord said, you go. And so in verse 17, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, on Saul, he said, Brother Saul. Well, he must have been born again. He called him brother. He called him Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, because he didn't have sight for 3 days, and it said he didn't eat. So he said that you would receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, in this passage, it doesn't say that Paul spoke in other tongues in this scriptures, but we know in 1 Corinthians, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So you know he had to have spoken in tongues. But the point in making this reference is that he received Christ first. That's the point. He was born again before Ananias laid hands upon him. You see the point. Now, let's turn to John 4 for a moment, quick moment. John chapter 4. And I want us to look at John 4 and then also John chapter 7 and verse 37. So John 4 and look at verses starting in verse 10. And this account's talking about the woman at the well of Samaria. And she came to the well, and of course Jesus is sitting there, he's thirsty. And she comes and said, you know, the rest of the story here. This woman says, he said, I'm thirsty. And she says, why are you asking me for a drink when Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans? And of course, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest, see, that's an interesting term, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee, what? Living water. Now look at verse 14, and he says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. So Jesus refers to this experience here, receiving him, receiving eternal life, as a well of water. So he's talking about salvation here. He's talking about this everlasting life as a well of water. Now, when you look at John chapter 7 and verse 37, it says, and 38, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you can see here, the water in the well and the rivers of water, and our essence, the water in both, are the same. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. So the water in the well and the water in the river are the same. Talking about the Holy Spirit, but they're two different experiences. So we see here, it's talking about the first experience in the Holy Ghost is to receive eternal life. This is where it's talking about when he said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. So where is it? Inside you, in you. And this also, when it talks about the second experience, when it's in John 7, he says, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So this second experience is the Holy Spirit, where out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. Two different experiences. So one thing, something that struck me, I want to go over here for a minute. Take a look at 1 John chapter 4 for a minute. Kind of been resonating inside of me for a bit. 1 John chapter 4. I'm sorry, 5. I'm sorry, I was right. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, you are of God, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. He's talking about those spirits that are in the world, Antichrist, the devil. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is what? In you than he that is in the world. You know, I've been meditating on this for a couple of days. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And usually what happens, we get confronted with issues and situations and we don't remind ourselves that there's someone greater inside of us, in us, greater. Greater, say greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And sometimes, you know, I'll say it this way, do you ever think about this? When you come into the presence of someone that's greater, why are we doing all the talking? We need to shut up. When someone is greater than us, we need to do what? Listen. If somebody knows more, I would have to say, does God know more? Yeah, the Holy Ghost knows all things. So he's greater. So that means I ought to be quiet and do what? Listen. Seek him and ask him, hey, I don't know what to do. What do I do here? I'm stuck. I need to zip it and be quiet and do more listening, do more seeking, because in my own understanding, I'm limited. So when I'm confronted in society with issues, I need to start asking the greater one how to deal with this, because he lives on the inside of me. And so often when we start looking at issues that are greater than what we can figure out, we start complaining. Isn't that normal? I do it. And I have to stop and say, be quiet. The greater one lives inside. He knows what to do. He knows how to handle this. But we have to keep reminding ourselves that there's someone living inside that's greater. And we have to keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it until it becomes what? A reality. Brother Hagin used to say this through his 60-plus years. He said, he would say, we need to be more God inside-minded. Because we go through life and we're so sense-minded, everything we can see, smell, touch, hear, everything that we taste, we see it, we taste it, we touch it, we hear it, and we think, ah, it's big, it's too big, can't change in society. You know, nothing can change. Said who? God's greater. I mean, if you look at the Tower of Babel, God came down and said, I'm going to come down and see this people that they've come together and they're in agreement that nothing can stop them. So I'm going to have to confuse their language. But this was a group of people that got into what? Agreement. So there's power in agreement. But usually what happens is the devil gets people to talking because of what they see and hear, and it can't change, but the greater one lives inside me. And we just have to keep reminding ourselves that he's greater. He's bigger than any situation I can confront. He's greater than any situation I can confront. He's already been there. Here's another thing. Think about this. I heard someone share this. He knows protocol. So he actually knows how to enter in. So in other words, he may say, you need to praise God. He knows protocol. He knows the heart of God. He may say, get down on your knees and praise him, pray right now. He may say, lift your hands and begin to praise him. He knows what will move God. Why? Because he knows all things. He's here to do what? He is the helper. So if someone is a helper, then they know what the right thing is to do to motivate God to do something on your behalf. And of course, faith is one of them. So I share that to just kind of stir your heart this morning, to remind yourself that there's somebody living inside you that's greater. Next time you're confronted with something and you don't know what to do, and it looks bigger than you could ever imagine, you need to remind yourself, greater is he that's in me. He knows how to handle this. And you begin to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me what to do. And then listen. And when he tells you what to do, follow it out. Amen. Follow it out. Thoughts here. This is, let's turn over to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. This is, we looked at Saul of Tarsus. And look at Acts chapter 10. There are roughly five accounts in the book of Acts on being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And of course, the initial outpouring in Acts 2 is one of them. That was the initial outpouring. And then, of course, Acts 8, where Philip preached to Samaria. Acts 9, it talks about Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. That's another. Even though it doesn't say he spoke in other tongues, but we know he did. Cornelius in Acts 10. Cornelius, this is talking about in Acts 10, chapter 13. And this, just from the readings that I have, this account happened about 10 years after the day of Pentecost. And he was a Roman centurion. And it said here he was, and of course you can read it for yourself, but he was praying. And an angel appeared to him, told him to send someone to Joppa to inquire in the house of Simon the Tanner. And of course, it says Peter had gone out on the housetop to pray, and Peter fell into a trance. And of course, you can read that story where it talks about Peter saw a giant sheet down from heaven, let down, and it said it had all kinds of beasts, both clean and unclean. And of course, you can pick up in verse 13, and it said, there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And of course, this was talking about here, about the Jews looking upon the Gentiles as being unclean. But God was getting Peter prepared for what Peter would soon witness, and that's the gospel being preached to the Gentiles. So Peter left with three men for Cornelius' house, along with several Jewish brethren. And when they arrived, who preached the gospel to Cornelius and his household? Peter did. This is the same Peter and John that got filled with the Holy Ghost. So they're preaching the gospel. And of course, you know the rest of the story. They all got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Acts, yeah, let's look at Acts 19. This is another account. This again is Paul passing through Ephesus and the coast of Ephesus. And starting in verse 1, it said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. See, this is talking about salvation here. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe what? On him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this has happened almost simultaneously. And then verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So they received salvation, and they had hands laid upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost and did what? Spake with other tongues and prophesied. Now that can happen, but we shouldn't seek for the additional things. Those are as the Lord wills. Those things happen. They may and they may not. But we're to seek the Holy Ghost. But one thing I wanted to just, we'll make just a point here, is that there's a value. You know, you might say, well, what has all of this got to do with anything? You know, I already have the Holy Ghost. I know that. I speak in other tongues. Good. Somebody may be here and say, well, what do I need the Holy Ghost for? I'm fine as it is. What do I need to speak in other tongues for? Well, it says here, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, when you look at that, that word power, that means to have dunamis, which is the God power. I mean, it's, let me read what that is. It says, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. The minute you get the Holy Ghost in you, you receive power. You receive God-like power, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. It says here, dunamis power is power for performing miracles. And it says, when you receive power, you shall be a witness to preach the gospel. You'll be a witness. That means there's something going to happen inside of you and upon you. So often folks say, well, good, I speak in other tongues. What for? It's to perform this God power that you have. God's power resides upon you to preach with boldness and to perform miracles. There should be some evidence. Let me read this scripture here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So when the power of God comes upon you and you speak in other tongues, there's going to be a demonstration in your life. There'll be a demonstration in your life. Let me read these other two scriptures. It says, this is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do, you know this, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. How? According to the power that worketh in us. So this power that is in us is there to do what? Do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The power of God that resides upon us should be in demonstration. Now, I heard Brother Hagin say this. He said, when he received the Holy Spirit, he said he didn't feel any different before he received the Holy Spirit, infilling now. He said, I spoke with other tongues, but I didn't feel any different before or after. And he said, I thought, well, maybe I didn't receive him, because I was expecting some kind of outward demonstration. But he said, because I spoke with other tongues and God said I received power, he said, I believed God. And so I went through, and so he said that he was at that time, this was back in 1930s, he said, I'm a young person, 22 years old. I'm a pastor of a church out in the country. So he's relaying this story in Texas. And he said, I'm way out in the country. And he said, people couldn't travel to other churches. So people of different denominations would come to his church. He said, I'm a Baptist church. but he said it was a country church and Pentecostals would come to the church. And he said, now they had the Holy Ghost, but he said, I didn't tell him. He said, I just thought, you know what? I don't want to upset anybody. I'm not going to get up and say I received the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to be quiet. And he said, I just thought that was wisdom. So he said, I didn't feel any different. But God said, I received power. So he said, I just began to preach and share. And he said, one family went away for about 3 months, and they were voicing their concern about some of the Pentecostals that were coming to church in his fellowship. I thought, that hasn't changed. People get concerned about things in church, so that hadn't changed. And so he said, this one close person to him, after about 3 months, he shared with them that he had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, there's something different about you. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence wasn't necessarily to be evident to you, but it was evident to everybody else that something had changed in him. They said to him, your preaching's changed. There's something different about your preaching. The words that you're speaking have more impact. When you speak, it's not that he was emotional, but they said the words that you're speaking have more impact than they had before. So that's what he said, well, so there's some evidence. And so I think sometimes we get over into thinking that the Holy Ghost, we have to seek some emotional experience, and it's not that at all. We can be emotional and get emotional, but we don't, just because we didn't have an emotional experience doesn't mean that we didn't receive power. Doesn't mean that we didn't receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I think that's what people think. If I'm not shouting from the chandeliers and I'm not hollering and screaming, then it's not the Holy Ghost. That's not true. And yet, on the other hand, it can be with that. But what Brother Hagin was saying was that the evidence of this power wasn't necessarily an emotional experience. He said the evidence came from his spirit. When he spoke, there was more power in the word. The words that he was speaking were infused with power by who? Holy Ghost. You see. So it changed his speaking and his teaching. See. And so sometimes we have to do just what? Believe God. If he said you're filled with power, then you are. If he said that when you've received the Holy Ghost, you have. And if there's been evidence of speaking in tongues, then you've received it. Don't seek an emotional experience. Seek God. Seek him. Seek the greater one that lives on the inside. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be quiet all the time. Doesn't mean that either. When it's time to shout, it's time to shout. When it's time to speak with boldness, it's time to speak with boldness. And we do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, one thing, I'll just say this in closing, that in Jude it talks about building ourselves up. Jude, and there's only one chapter, but Jude 1:20, and it says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in other tongues, there must have been a reason Paul said, I pray more than you all in other tongues. I believe he shared that in 1 Corinthians 14, didn't he? So when we pray in the Spirit and we pray in other tongues, the value of this is that we become more God inside minded. We become more sensitive to God and His Spirit. There's a scripture, let me just read it, and we'll close with this, but 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it's I'm looking for that particular scripture. I know it's in 14. You help me out. I got it. Here it is. Verse 14. I should remember that. 14:14. 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." What prayeth? My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So by praying in the Spirit, our spirit is praying. Now let me ask this question. When you're working during the day, what are you using? Your understanding. So you can be working during the day using your understanding and using your spirit to pray. So you can be praying in the Spirit, not talking about out loud, if you can. I mean, if you're in an office, you can pray under your breath. You can pray in the Spirit. And what I find is that if you're praying in the Spirit while you're working, if you're doing manual labor and you don't have to use your mind, wonderful. I don't mean you use your mind, but you know what I mean. In other words, you're not sitting behind a desk. You're not using a calculator. But if you're doing manual labor, sometimes we can pray. If you were driving a truck, yeah, you're thinking, but you're not using your mind the same way. Does that understand? But you can be praying in the Spirit. And so as you're praying in the Spirit, you become more sensitive to who's inside you. And He can speak to you much more clearly. You're praying in the Spirit. You're building yourself up. So the value is, to me, we ought to be praying all the time in the Spirit while we're going about doing our daily task during the day, whether it's cleaning the house, whether it's working, driving to work, whatever it is. Pray in the Spirit. And you build yourself up, be charged up, be filled up. I know some of the other translations, it says, I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my mind, my understanding is unfruitful. If you read some of the translations, it says, my mind has no part in it. My thinking has no part in it. My mind is blank or produces no fruit. See, when it says, my understanding is unfruitful, it means I'm not producing any fruit with that. So I need to be producing fruit where? In my spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Amen. So there's a value. What do we say here in conclusion? Being filled with the Spirit is a gift from God. It's a gift available to His children, those that have received Him. And this gift is available to help us. He sent another comforter. He sent a helper. So this helper, this gift is available to us. And when we receive Him, we receive power to help us, to be a witness. And that power is to help us through life, not just help us personally, but to help other people. And so often, you know, when we look at, like here, Anne Durant, you know, there's an anointing, there's a healing anointing upon her. That's more of what I would call a special anointing. And God imparts that to certain people. But everyone who is a Christian can lay hands upon the sick. Every Christian. Now there are those that may have a special anointing of healing. And of course, we can you can go through and look at that in Acts chapter and 1 Corinthians 12, where God anoints individuals to do certain things as He wills. But every one of us, when we receive power to be a witness, a demonstration of miracles through us and upon us. So we ought not to be hesitant about laying hands upon the sick and expecting a demonstration of signs and miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. So, in conclusion, if you haven't received this gift and you desire it, we'll lay hands upon you today and you shall receive. And you will receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if you have received the Holy Ghost and you do speak in other tongues, then I would suggest that you pray more in the Spirit. Pray more in the Spirit. If you're praying 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, up it to a half an hour. Pray more in the Spirit. You know, it takes a decision and a choice. You know, it's like anything else. You have to just make a choice. And when you do, there's benefits to it. Pray in the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. The greater one lives on the inside. And this power resides upon us and within us. Amen. To change things, change society, change people. Amen.